The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with the nicest place in America, Reader's Digest cover story. Now, I don't always agree with their estimation, but I've been in Buffalo, New York, which is the city they're talking about, and it's pretty nice in the summer, but in the winter, you don't want to be there. Then there's a picture here of a bridge, and it looks like a big boardwalk, and boardwalk biking at Canal Side. And then they got pictures of an old building, the Towers Building, which is on a football campus, a theater, crowd downtown, and it looks like a clubhouse of some sort overlooking a lake. By the time the blizzard hit Buffalo, Craig Ellison was the last barber left in his shop. And there's a picture of Craig. He's a middle-aged black man with a Pittsburgh Pirates hat on. Inside were warmth, safety, and a well-stocked candy machine. Outside was a swirling mess of some of the worst winter can dish out. And, boy, it can dish it out there, let me tell you. It was like nothing I've ever seen, Ellison said. 80-mile-an-hour winds. If you went outside, it would just knock you over. That was December 23rd, 2022. The day had dawned mild, but by midday, temperatures had plunged. Winds were blasting and snow was piling up fast. News reports grew urgent. Get off the roads. Get off the roads. Find shelter. Fast. Some neighbors were knocking, desperate for warmth and safety. Over the course of the next 5 brutally cold days, Ellison would help dozens stay warm, fed, and alive. At least 40 people, maybe more, he figures. It wasn't fun or easy. One dude flooded the toilet 3 times, Ellison says. But it had to be done, he adds. Those people, 40 people, could have died out there. Craig Ellison is 38. He grew up in Buffalo, where he runs the CNC Cuts barbershop on Fillmore Avenue. It's the kind of neighborhood where you can get a gun like it was a loaf of bread, says Ellison's friend Drake Ferguson. But it's also full of hardworking people of all kinds, including new immigrants and families that have lived there for generations. Challenges are nothing new for Buffalo residents like these, says Ferguson. Every day is a blizzard, he says. It just depends on how you deal with it. Dealing with it has become Buffalo especially. Not long ago, the city was one of America's most prosperous. More recently, Buffalo has suffered through some of the nation's most painful losing streaks. Long before its football team was infamously losing Super Bowls, the Great Lakes economy was losing jobs and industries. And in 2022, Buffalo witnessed one of the nation's most horrific mass shootings, with 10 people killed at the top supermarket just a couple of miles from Ellison's shop. A final crushing blow. On the last day of the year, right on the blizzard's heels, a house fire on Dartmouth Avenue took the lives of 5 children and their grandmother. But for all the troubles, one thing has never changed, says Ferguson. Buffalo is a city of good neighbors, he says. You have a lot of good stuff going on. You just have to know who to ask. And on that deadly December day, and the blizzard, biggest blizzard since 1977, rolled in, Ellison realized it was his turn to help. So he went to TikTok to open his doors to Buffalo. Anybody out there that's stuck, do not stay in your car, man, Ellison announced in his video. The barbershop here welcomes you. Get some heat, get some electricity, charge your phone, get in contact with your family. The historic storm would eventually kill 47 people in and around the city, raging for days and dumping over 50 inches of snow. Temperatures dropped below zero. People died while stranding in cars or walking in the streets. One was a friend of Ferguson. He fell down and couldn't make it home. Ellison credits his old coach, Bill Russell, from his basketball team at Buffalo's Riverside High School for inspiring him to step up when his neighbors needed him. "He's the reason I opened the door," says Ellison. "The real key to success is to pour yourself into the people around you. That's what Coach taught me." The coach himself weathered the storm in his home, where he was snowed in for a week. Only later did he learn what his former player had done and why. "Craig has been amazing. I'm proud to know him," Russell says, "and I'm not one bit surprised that he stepped up." Also unsurprised was Reader's Digest reader who nominated New York's second-largest city as one of America's nicest places. "That is so Buffalo," said Kathleen Miller, when she heard Ellison's tale. "The thing that has made me a huge Buffalo fan is the people. They'll do anything for you, but they will not brag about it." That could have been me. Miller was born in Oregon, but after 3 decades in Buffalo, she feels like a native. Snow is a fact of life in western New York, that's for sure. But Miller, now a retired business executive, didn't experience her first true blizzard until 2006. Trapped in her office downtown, giving her a front row seat to see the Buffalo way in action. Everybody abandoned their cars in the streets. There were all these strangers going around helping strangers, he says. In the garage under my office, there was a woman delivering a baby. Ambulances couldn't get in, but there were 12 people around this woman, and they delivered the baby that night. Wow. That was her first encounter with the Buffalo Way. It really didn't matter who you were. If you needed help, you were going to get it. And there's a picture of Kathleen Miller, who's slightly above middle age, red hair, quite attractive. Krista Lebzinski, another area resident, says the troubles have hit Buffalo breed a certain understanding we're all in this together. Buffalo really got it bad the last few years between the weather and the shootings and all of that, Lipkinsey says. The people who died on the side of the road, it didn't matter if you were driving a brand new pickup or an old beater. You think, that could have been me. It might be me next time. Lipsinski has gotten to know the region's best side through her work with Kindness Buffalo, a volunteer group that organizes fundraisers and commits random acts of kindness, like bringing gift cards to people in the hospital. Its efforts bring some sunshine to a region that gets just 9 hours of daylight in the depths of winter. It's hard to live here. It's dark. Seasonal depression is a real thing, says Lipinski, but I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. Buffalo sits on the edge of Lake Erie, about 20 miles south of Niagara Falls, near the Canadian border. Some of its roads run atop ancient paths of the Iroquois people, who lived here for centuries before the Europeans arrived. Once a capital of shipping and manufacturing, Buffalo has struggled economically in recent decades. In 1950, the city's population was almost 600,000 people. By 1990, it was down to just over 300,000. That was the same year that Buffalo's beloved football teams, the Bills, lost their first of four Super Bowls in a row. The one-time Great Lakes powerhouse had become best known for falling snow and falling short. But the years since have shown that Buffalo has a way of bouncing back, and it starts with neighbors helping neighbors, says Ferguson. What we ask is, what can I do for you right now, he says. I'm a human like you. I'm here with you. It's about meeting that moment. That attitude has helped the city endure. Buffalo's metro region remains home to more than a million people. Its skilled workforce still draws employers and jobs. It's spacious and green, with an affordable cost of living. Manufacturing has dwindled, but Buffalo's service economy has grown, anchored by universities and healthcare. It remains a magnet for students and tourists. And the entire region is a hotbed of arts, culture, winter sports, and water sports. Buffalo winters may be dark and cold, but sparkling summer days on the shores of Lake Erie are hard to beat. Among Buffalo's other cultural calling cards, the stunning Cathedral Call Our Lady of Victory, the bustling museum district of Canalside, and the annual chicken-eating festival that celebrates the signature food, the city's signature food, Buffalo Wings. And, of course, there's the football team. Everybody here is a Bills fan, says Lipinski. You have to be, says Miller, who moved to Buffalo just in time to see the Bills lose the 1993 Super Bowl to the Dallas Cowboys. I felt like I was at a wake, she recalls. Black, white, poor, wealthy, everybody just bucked each other up and said, our time is going to come. The storm arrives. The first blast of snow hit Buffalo around 10 a.m. on a Friday. Soon the blizzard gripped the region like a claw. Temperatures plunged. Roads became impassable. Emergency crews rescued 65 people before abandoning the effort as too dangerous. At one point, police logged 1,000 unanswered calls for help. More than 30,000 people lost power. Much of Craig Elston's neighborhood lost power, too, but not his barbershop. The first person to knock on his door was a Middle Eastern neighbor who barely spoke English. Elston didn't need a translator to see his trouble. He had frostbite on his fingers, on his toes. It was really bad, recalls Elston. Not far away, Miller was about to get her own reminder of the Buffalo Way. She lives on 100 acres outside the city, raising horses and cattle, and as the storm blew in, she expected to be cut off from her barns and animals. The handyman who typically helps her had been hospitalized with a bad burn, and she didn't expect to see him, so she gave her animals a double feeding, crossed her fingers, and got ready for bed. All of a sudden, my doorbell rings, and there he stands, she recalls. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting you out. So I gave him some beer and cookies. It took him 30 minutes to get through the horse barn. Then he took my tractor and cleared out two of my neighbors. That is Buffalo. Across the region, as emergency vehicles bogged down, other residents stepped up. One was Jay Withy, who broke into a school to shelter himself and 20 other stranded motorists. Before leaving, he wrote a polite note on the whiteboard. I'm terribly sorry about breaking the school window. I had to do it to save everyone. Another was Shakira Alti, who saved a 64-year-old autistic man from freezing outside her home. I said, listen, we got to go out and get this guy, she told people. This could be your mom. This could be my dad. This could be anybody. And then there was Alexander and Andrea Campagna, who shared Christmas Eve with 9 Korean tourists who had been headed for Niagara Falls. Other stranded drivers stayed in local Target. About 100 more stayed at the Alabama Hotel in the nearby town of Bassum. Meanwhile, as squads of volunteer snowmobilers prowled the streets, Facebook groups sent people to safe havens like Elson's Barbershop. For 5 days, dozens came and went from CNC cuts, including a family with 2 children. I had everybody in here, Elson recalls. African people, Arabic people, Hispanic people. Some stayed to sleep, wrapping themselves in barber capes. Some stopped just to charge phones. Some came and went as they searched for the neighborhood for food or friends in need. It got crowded and sometimes feisty, with worried, hungry people chattering in each other in different languages. People couldn't understand each other, Elson says. I broke up a lot of fights. It was a headache. It wasn't peaches and cream. Along the way, barber chairs got broken. The hand machine got raided and the front door was knocked off its hinges. But when it was all over, the barber thought more about the people he didn't save than the ones he did. There was a girl down on Clinton Street not too far from me. Maybe I could have got a crew of people that was in the barbershop and helped, Elson says. She froze to death in her car. They share food. They shovel driveways. Nor did the region recover easily. As the storm moved out, tales of tragic deaths poured in. City officials faced tough criticism for being slow to close roads. Cleanup took months. But along with the tragedies came tale after tale of courage and compassion. Buffalo would spend weeks celebrating its blizzard heroes with official awards and tickets to Bills games. Those heroes invariably shared the credit with the city itself. Buffalo is a good city of good neighbors, says neighbor. Great neighbors, actually. We're all just a big family, says Withy, who broke into the school. Everyone just sticks together and we're resilient. You can't put us down. The near-death experience of Bill's safety Damar Hamlin only added to the frenzy. Throughout the 2022 season, the team had been one of the NFL's best. But just a week after the deadly blizzard, Hamlin almost died on the field when a hard hit stopped his heart. In a moment, fans around the region went from praying for Victor to praying for a young man's life. It drew everybody together, Miller says. Everybody pulling together, making sure the kids knew what was happening. The Bills would fall short of a Super Bowl once again, but Hamlin survived. While he recovered, donations poured in to support his favorite cause, a modest online toy drive that would eventually raise more than $9 million. Between the blizzard and Hamlin's near-death experience, for a few weeks, Buffalo became the center of the media universe. Melson says he talked to at least 100 reporters eager to capture a little bit of the Buffalo spirit. Worldwide attention, front page of Yahoo, front page of Google, CNN, ABC, NPR, says Elson. It was a kind of overwhelming. But if the attention was new, Elson's efforts were not. He'd been giving back to his community long before the blizzard hit. I sponsor a shoe giveaway. I give a free haircuts for kids who keep their grades at 90 or above, he says. He does much of that work with Ferguson, a longtime community activist. Last Thanksgiving, Ferguson and Elston helped give away 250 turkeys to needy families. Craig is one of my great young men, Ferguson says. We do things to impact the community any way we can. Elston says the inspiration for those efforts began with Russell, his old basketball coach. I can never pay Coach Russ back, says Elston. He's the sole reason I am what I am today, helping my neighbors. He was so influential I had no idea what it took to function as a young man. He drove me to games, brought me to basketball sneakers. One time he drove my grandmother to see me play, the only time she ever saw me play. That night I played my worst game, but I didn't care. When Russell heard that praise, his heart swelled. And there's a picture of Coach Russell. Coach Russell is a white guy, and he's 5'5" tall. And he looks like he's about standing next to Elston. His head barely reaches his shoulders. When Russell heard that praise, his heart swelled. I'm about 5'5", but right now I feel about 7 feet tall, he says. Russell taught math and coached basketball for 25 years at Riverside, a neighborhood public school whose alumni included former NBA All-Star Cliff Robinson. Russell recalls Elson as a hard-nosed, focused player, but he's most proud to see the man that Elson has become. The things that are important aren't records or championships, Russell says. My biggest pleasure is seeing the guys doing well with their families, being leaders. And it's people like Elston that keep Russell in Buffalo. While the blizzard had the coach trapped in his home, he saw his own neighbors doing for each other what Elston did on Fillmore Avenue, shoveling snow, checking on the elderly, sharing a laugh and a kind word. Buffalo's got a lot of really good qualities, good enough that I stayed here myself after I retired, Russell says. People help each other out. They share food. They shovel driveways. They give you a shoulder to cry on. That's underrated. That's a familiar story for Ferguson, a Buffalo native who spent a storm making sure his 91-year-old mother stayed warm. All around, neighbors were helping one another however they could. And there's a picture of Ferguson. He's a middle-aged black man, good-looking, nice beard and nice-looking in a suit. It reminds me of my father. He only had a fourth-grade education, but he was always helping, Ferguson said. He was always building something for somebody or blowing snow off the sidewalk so people could get out of the corner store. Today, Elston and C.C. Cutts are still recovering from the storm. Sheltering people for 5 days took his toll on his equipment and his wallet. Between the broken gear and his utility bill, Elston regularly after it cost him about $20,000, but only some of which was covered by donation to a GoFundMe account. I spent everything I had. I'm still trying to recover, he says. I had to replace almost every chair. Buffalo, likewise, is still recovering from the storm and the violence alike. The blizzard and the top supermarket shooting took a particular toll on Buffalo's black residents. Half of those killed by the blizzard were black, and all 10 of those killed at Tops were black as well. Around the city, people are having hard conversations about striving to correct inequities. But as officials wrangle with policy, Buffalo's community members are stepping up in their own way. A survivors fund for victims of the Tops supermarket shooting raised more than $6 million. Damar Hamlin's team has created a charitable fund called the Chasing M's Foundation to help distribute the millions donated to Hamlin's Toy Drive. And down on Fillmore Avenue, the next time Buffalo needs help, Craig Elston would just think about the lessons he learned from Coach Russ. If I had to open up again, I would do it, Elston says. It was the right thing to do. I'm not a hero. I'm just a barber, just working hard and grinding the same as before. Thank you, Buffalo. The NFL star on how the city rounded around him during his biggest challenge. Since the day that I was blessed to be drafted to play football for the Bills, the people of Buffalo have embraced me and lifted up my heart. I didn't know much about this city before then, and at every turn, Buffalo has delivered. And there's a picture of him signing an autograph of cutting a cast on a young boy's arm. It is not just the passion of the Bills Mafia on game day, or even the wings. It's the people and the way they lift up one another even before tragedy struck. Over the past few years, the city has seen so many hard times and so much pain. A shooting that horrified the world, taking lives and stealing dreams. An unimaginable blizzard that brought so much fear. A tragic fire that took young lives. Loss after loss. The challenges seem to keep coming. The people of Buffalo have experienced the kind of pain that could have broken them. But it hasn't. Today, when I'm at home in Buffalo, I meet people full of hope and determination. I see a Buffalo that has chosen to come together rather than fall apart. I see why Buffalo is known as a city of good neighbors. Healing takes time, and I see people who have stayed united and are finding a way to move forward together. People who step out of their homes to help a neighbor volunteer and just keep going. And that strength has helped to lift up my own experience. The people of Buffalo continue to show the world what resilience looks like, and that inspired me during my toughest moments in the hospital after experiencing cardiac arrest on the field. During that challenging time, my family and I felt the love from the city. As I was healing, every day I received cards and letters, artwork from school kids, and news about people praying and supporting us. I saw images of people wearing my number in support. Buffalo's love for me came to life for my family and me in so many ways, I really don't know if I can find the words to explain what it means to me as I heal. But I am certain that Buffalo's show of resilience is part of what inspired me during my darkest hours. On the day I was drafted, my little brother, who was 6 at the time, said, "Damar, do they have beaches there?" I told him, "No, brother. We are going to Buffalo. There isn't a beach in the world that I would trade for the gift I've been given to become part of this community and feel its warm embrace. The people of this great city inspire me to keep praying, keep loving, keep going, no matter what the circumstances, to count my blessings, and just show up every day with love. As I look forward, I'm grateful to call this city home, and it will always hold a special place in my heart. Buffalo is a city of fighters, and I'm proud to be one of them. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin experienced cardiac arrest during an NFL game against the Cincinnati Bengals on January 2, 2023. As the world watched, since then his charity Chasing M's Foundation has received donations from generous people all over the world, helping him to fulfill his mission of helping kids with camps, toy drives, back-to-school drives, and more. Go to ChasingM'sFoundation.com to join Hamlin's journey. What's your flower farm? This is a continuation of the nicest places in Providence, Rhode Island. It's been nearly 7 years since a group of volunteers broke ground on What's Your Flower Farm in Providence, Rhode Island, with a simple goal: get flowers into the hands of anyone in need of a pick-me-up. Best of all, each one of the tens of thousands of bouquets that What's Your grows and delivers are completely free of charge. And there's a picture of a whole bunch of flowers sitting in on an open shelf along with some honey. Jars of honey and different kind of knickknacks and stuff, that including a stone reporting support your local flowers. We want to blanket the state with flowers and create happiness and joy, says Aaron Achenbach, What Cheer's farmer and head florist. What Cheer regularly delivers blooming joy to people at local hospitals, food banks, hospices, senior centers, recovering centers, and more, including AIDS Care Ocean State, which provides support to those affected by HIV. Seeing the smiles on people's faces who weren't expecting it, who just came in to have a meeting with their case manager or take advantage of one of our programs, to just see this glow come off their faces is great, says Stephen Hogan Jr. from AIDS Care Ocean State. Located in Providence's rusted industrial Oldieville neighborhood, Woodshire's flower beds lie on 2.7 acres that once housed a crumbling knife factory. And it's safe to say that the What Cheer crew is deserving of some flowers of their own. In May, the nonprofit was awarded a record-high $500,000 grant from the Environmental Protection Agency for its continued revitalization of a brownfield site, land once abandoned because of industrial pollution. Not only do we give this space back to the neighborhood by bringing life to a space that's quite literally dead, says Achenbach, but we're an eco-landing spot with the ability to help local insect and bird populations, and that'll only make people's lives better. What cheer indeed. What's good about a flower is that it doesn't need anything else, she adds. Your only job when someone gives you a flower is to enjoy it. Red Lodge, Montana. It was 3 a.m. when the flood came in on an unseasonably warm night in June. The summer rain melting snow from an unseasonable Memorial Day blizzard. Susan Roberts, new to Red Lodge, Montana, a small town of 2,300, woke up from an uneasy sleep. She saw the lights on at her across-the-way neighbors on the side bordering Rock Creek, a 55-mile river skirting the town's eastern edge. You could hear the boulders smashing together, says Red Lodge Mayor Kristen Cogswell. It was surreal, like nothing I'd ever heard before. Roberts' next-door neighbor, a police officer, was evacuating with his four kids, and he advised Roberts to do the same. So she put her dogs in the car and moved it to an alley behind her home about 10 feet uphill, as her husband went house to house, waking others. It was still dark. People were sleeping and didn't realize, says Roberts. There wasn't a public response. It was more people going to each other's doors, saying, "Wake up, you gotta get out." The couple stayed in their car and on a few feet of dry land surrounding it for the eternity of the next day, watching their house crumble. As far as 100-year floods go, Red Lodge had it all. Fir trees washed down the town's main drag. Cars floated away. Craters contoured the Beartooth Highway, a major artery connecting Red Lodge to Billings. Broadway looked like a riverbed, says Cogswell. The whole community was wandering around trying to grasp what had happened. Then, as suddenly as Rock Creek surged, Red Lodge regained its bearings. The day after the flood, more than 20 people, friends, neighbors, strangers, even tourists, flocked in to help. People went into our wet, muddy basement and pulled everything out, says Roberts. They sorted and took things home to wash. One person brought a bobcat to clean up our yard. A mother and her two young children poured debris from our chain-link fence. Helpers even salvaged her precious photo albums, trying each print before returning it to the book. And volunteers get coming every day until summer's end. People would not take no for an answer. If I was like, "Oh, we're okay now," they'd be like, "Nope, I'm going to do something," she says. All over town, people mobilized. Volunteer bucket brigades worked quickly to muck out a space within hours. People offered their Yellowstone vacation homes to the displaced at no charge. Restaurant owner Gina Berghoff organized a gift card brigade for people to buy gift cards from local businesses to donate to affected residents. Cogswell Huzzin even saw a man catching fish on Broadway to return to Rock Creek. Most importantly, amid it all, Red Lodge remained grounded. We moved in, and we have to learn to live harmoniously, says Cogswell. Harmony has been well learned in Red Lodge, a blue town in a red county. Berghoff remembers people publicly forcing their opinions on both sides leading up to the 2020 election. There was a lot of separation for a couple years before, says Berghoff. But people either came to their senses to help one another or were just kind of over the nonsense. It was a good lesson, she adds. More than a year later, Red Lodge is still recovering from the flood's destruction. But tourist season looks bright. In the springs, Roberts finally moved home with a freshly poured concrete foundation, and Red Lodge will continue to seek the balance needed to thrive in the Montana wild. What's different about Red Lodge is we're here because of our respect and compassion for nature. People in Red Lodge will try to understand it and work with it, but every once in a while you need a good talking to, says Cogswell, and that was a good one. And there are a couple more of these communities that we'll cover next week. Let's go to the Consumer Reports. 10 Really Risky Foods. We've identified foods that can cause serious illness. Here's our guide to staying safe when you eat them. Salmonella in your chicken and E. coli in your ground beef. Listeria in your bagged salads. Even lead in your dark chocolate. Concerns about food safety frequently make headlines, and with good reason. Each year, an estimated 50 million people, or 15% of Americans, fall ill from bacteria or viruses that make their way into our food, and countless others face long-term health risks from exposure to heavy metals or other harmful ingredients in what we eat. But there are ways to reduce your chances of getting sick from even the riskiest foods, says James E. Rogers, Ph.D., Director of Food Safety Research and Testing at Consumer Reports. It comes down to knowing how to select and prepare them to make them as safe as possible, and how to stay on top of recalls so you can avoid purchasing possibly contaminated food. Over the years, Consumer Reports experts have evaluated various food safety threats, from heavy metals to worrisome additives to bacteria in foods. Most recently, we analyzed 6 years of data to identify foods most often recalled because of contamination with bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella. The result? CR's list of 10 types of food that are particularly risky, based on how often they've been recalled, are linked to foodborne illnesses between outbreaks between 2017 and 2022. We aren't saying people need to avoid these foods entirely, says Brian Roanholm, Director of Food Policy at CR. After all, many of them are important parts of a healthy diet. Instead, our experts explain the steps you can take right now to protect yourself, as well as offer advice on other food safety concerns. Findings, 2017 to 2022. Recalls and outbreaks, 50. Number of illnesses, 614. Number of deaths, 11. Leafy greens. Products recalled, romaine lettuce and bagged salads. Reason, E. coli and listeria. Why they're risky. Outbreaks traced to leafy greens were responsible for the most death in our analysis, and the second largest number of recalls and illness outbreaks. Like the culprit. Contaminated water may have irrigated the fields in California and Arizona, where most of the lettuce is grown in the U.S., says CR's Brian Roanholm. Some fields are near cattle feedlots, and the animals can carry particularly deadly strains of E. coli, such as 0157.H7, in their intestines. Manure caning the bacteria can seep into irrigation water and contaminate crops. Even if a batch of lettuce comes to the processing plant free of harmful bacteria, it could still become contaminated. Packaged salad greens are persistent at a relatively small number of facilities around the country, so if bacteria are on processing equipment, they can quickly spread to dozens of different products and millions of cases, says Michael Hansen, Ph.D., senior scientist at CR. That increases the chances of contamination and more people getting sick when outbreaks occur. That is probably what happened, he says, to two massive recalls in 2021. Doles involved E. coli, and 76 products were recalled. Fresh Express recalled more than 100 products for listeria. One of the biggest reasons salad greens are particularly problematic is that they're normally eaten raw. Heating kills E. coli and listeria, but most people understandably don't want to cook their lettuce, says CR's James Rogers. The safer way to eat them. Consider buying whole head lettuce instead of bagged or boxed greens. Remove and discard the outer leaves, which is where the bacteria often lurk, Rogers says, or opt for hydroponic or greenhouse-grown lettuce. if you can, because these types are less likely to come into contact with animal droppings. In addition, try eating cooked greens such as kale, collard greens, and Swiss chard. Excuse me. Especially if you are at high risk of getting food poisoning and becoming seriously ill. High-risk groups include people who are immunocompromised or pregnant and elderly people with one children. The risky recalled food list explained. CR's food safety experts look at food recalls and foodborne diseases outbreaks from 2017 through 2022, analyzing data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Food and Drug Administration in the Department of Agriculture. We focused on widely consumed foods and then ranked the recalls based on how many people died or became ill, how widespread the outbreaks were, the number of times a food was recalled, and the amount of food recalled. Recalls due to allergens or materials that sometimes get into food, such as pieces of plastic or rubber, were excluded. Note that the number of illness and deaths reflect only those linked to the reported outbreaks. How to track food recalls. No matter how vigilant you are in choosing foods, you may still end up with one that's recontaminated. That's why it's important to stay abreast of recalls. One good way, sign up for CR's Food Safety Alert Service, cr.org/mycr/benefits/food-safety-alert. We'll text you when we learn of a major food recall or safety alert. You can also sign up for recall alerts from the FDA, fda.gov/about-fda/contact-fda/get-email-updates. And the USDA publicgovdelivery.com account /USFIS/subscribe/new. Some stores notify customers when foods are purchased or are recalled. Costco contacts members via email, text, or phone, sometimes before the recall is announced by the FDA or the USDA. And Wegmans says it alerts its Shoppers Club members via email, as does Whole Foods for those who purchase groceries online, who use their Amazon Prime membership when buying groceries. Number 2, deli meats and cheeses. Products recalled: sausage, salami, ham, lunch meats, sliced cheeses, soft cheeses such as brie and queso fresco, and the reason was listeria. Why they're risky. Listeria can be particularly nasty bacteria. While it doesn't cause as many foodborne illnesses as salmonella or other pathogens, 90% of the people infected with it end up being hospitalized. People in high-risk groups are more vulnerable to infection. During pregnancy, a listeria infection can cause miscarriage or stillbirth. Listeria is notoriously difficult to kill. It thrives in damp, cold environments like refrigerators, deli cases, and food processing plants. It spreads easily. Just think of all the times the sliced cold cuts or cheeses you buy at a deli counter are touched by someone's hands, including each time a chunk of cheddar or salami goes back and forth between the case and the slicer. And once bacteria takes hold on machinery and in the processing plant or on the deli slicer, it can easily be transferred to other foods. The safer way to eat them: consider buying prepackaged deli meats, Roger says, because some research checks they may be less likely to lead to illnesses from listeria infection. High-risk individuals, the same group as for leafy greens, should steer clear of cold cuts, even prepackaged ones. People at high risk for foodborne illnesses should consider avoiding cheeses sliced at the deli, too, and buy prepackaged instead. It is also important for them to avoid cheeses made with raw milk and soft cheeses such as brie, queso fresco, and gorgonzola. They are safer if made with pasteurized milk, but their high moisture and low acid content support the growth of listeria. The findings: recalls and outbreaks in 2017 to 2022 were 122. Number of illnesses, 409. Number of deaths were 7. Ground beef. Product recalled: packaged ground beef, the reason E. coli and salmonella. And the findings on this product were: the recalls and outbreaks were 22, number of illnesses was 643, number of deaths were 2. Why it's risky. The same deadly strains of E. coli that can get from feedlots and pastures into lettuce in the field can get into beef itself, transferring from a cow's gut to the meat during slaughter. Those particular strains, called Shiga toxin, produce E. coli or STEC, are so dangerous that the USDA classified them as adulterants in beef, meaning that manufacturers must recall meat that can be contaminated with them, even if no illnesses are clearly linked to it. Ground beef contaminated with any STEC bacteria should not be sold, period, says C.R. Rogers. yet the bacteria are still sometimes found in ground beef, including a sample tested by CR last year. After that finding, CR immediately alerted the USDA, triggering a recall of more than 28,000 pounds of meat. Another, even more common concern, salmonella. Of the 643 illnesses linked to ground beef, 416 were attributed to this bacteria. While both ground meat and whole cuts, such as steak, can be contaminated, there's a greater risk with ground beef because the meat can come from many animals and are more processed during grinding. So bacteria from just one source can spread widely to other products, Rogers says. The safer way to eat it. On whole cuts of meat, the bacteria are usually on the surface, where they are easily killed when the beef is cooked properly. But in ground meat, the bacteria can be mixed throughout, which means that to be safe, burger patties should be cooked all the way through. Also take extra care cooking whole cuts that have been mechanically tenderized, which carry a higher risk of contamination because any bacteria on the surface can get deep into the meat. Check packages. The USDA requires that mechanically tenderized beef be labeled. If you want to be extra cautious when eating ground beef, you can pick a whole cut, such as chuck, round, or sirloin, and ask the clerk at the meat counter to grind it for you. The risk of contamination is lower because the meat comes from a single animal. Put ground beef in the refrigerator as soon as you get home from the store, or use it or freeze it within 2 days. Thaw frozen meat in the refrigerator, then remove it just before you cook. Refrigerate leftovers promptly. Cooked food shouldn't be left out longer than 2 hours or 1 hour if you're outside and the temperature is 90 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. When cooking, get meat hot enough to kill bacteria. For ground beef and pork, that's 160 degrees Fahrenheit, and for whole cuts, it's 145 degrees. And no, you can't tell by looking or touching. Instead, invest in a good meat thermometer. Organics can be risky, too. Organic meat and poultry must come from animals given organic feed and raised without antibiotics. Pesticide use is sharply limited in organic fruits and vegetables. But there's nothing in organic regulations about bacterial contamination. For that reason, organic foods may be just as likely as conventional foods to be recalled. Onions. Products recalled, red, sweet, and white onions, and the reason is salmonella. And the findings, recalls and outbreaks were 13, number of illnesses was 2,200, number of deaths was zero. As the FDA investigation suggests that irrigation water contaminated with salmonella contributed to 2 large recalls of onions, and also identified livestock on nearby land and droppings from birds and other wild animals as possible sources. The FDA also said it found signs of animal and pest in some of the onion packaging houses, and food contact services, which had not been inspected, maintained, cleaned, or sanitized as frequently as necessary. The safer way to eat them. Cooking onions will significantly reduce the chance that you'll get stick from bacteria, if they're present. When choosing onions, avoid those that are bruised, because their damage make it easier for bacteria to enter the onion. Refrigeration isn't needed. Keep onions in a well-ventilated area away from the sun. Don't wash them until you're ready to use them. Moisture can make them rot faster. Chicken and turkey. Products recalled. Chicken and turkey including ground, whole, and parts. And the reason is salmonella. The recalls of chickens were 4 and turkeys were 4. The number of illnesses for chicken was 190. For turkey, it was 400. The number of deaths from chicken was 2. From turkey was 1. Why they're risky. With poultry, not just the ground versions you need to worry about, but also the parts and whole birds. Salmonella is particularly widespread in chicken and turkey, partially because defeathering them can spread bacteria, and because of the additional handling required to cut the birds into parts, says C.R. Rogers. The crowded and filthy conditions in which they are often raised don't help, and poultry producers can legally sell products even if they know they may contain salmonella. For example, the USDA allows salmonella in up to 9.8% of whole chickens it tests at processing plant, 15.4% of parts, and 25% of ground chicken. CR's test last year confirmed the threat posed by salmonella in chicken, especially in ground chicken. We found it in 23 of the 75 samples we tested, almost one-third. The safer way to eat them. Chicken and turkey, ground, whole, and part, should be cooked to 165 degrees Fahrenheit. And don't rinse poultry before cooking it. Rogers says washing is far more likely to spread salmonella around the sink and counter than it is to remove bacteria from the birds. And then we have fruit, papayas, peaches, melons. And the findings on those were 12 papayas, 6 peaches, and 4 melons were recalled. The number of illnesses is 300 for papayas, 101 for peaches, and 300 for melons. The number of deaths, the only deaths were in the papayas. There were two. Why they're risky? Oh, wait, the products are recalled were papayas, peaches, pre-cut cantaloupe, honeydew, and watermelon, and whole cantaloupes. Why they're risky? For papayas, the risk seems most acute with fruits imported from Mexico, reflecting the difficulty the FDA can have expecting production outside the U.S. For peaches, the contamination appears to stem from animal feedlots. For example, in its investigation of a 2020 recall of almost 113 million pounds of that fruit, the FDA found that the peach orchards were near feedlots, and some of those orchards tested positive for salmonella strains similar to those previously found in cattle and poultry. In this case, though, it might not have been in irrigation water, but in dust and soil contaminated with bacteria carried by wind and deposited onto crops. For cantaloupes and other melons, problems seem to emerge most often when the fruits are cut into cubes or balls before being sold. When you cut into produce, you increase the risk of transferring bacteria that may be on the surface into its flesh. In commercial facilities with fruits and vegetables processed in one place, it can create opportunities for cross-contamination. And a common risk for all fruits, they are typically eaten raw, so bacteria won't be killed by cooking. The safer way to eat them. Avoid pre-cut fruit when possible, Sargers says, especially if you're at high risk for complications from foodborne illnesses. Instead, buy whole fruit and cut it up yourself at home. When choosing whole fruits, avoid bruised or damaged ones. Note that while washing helps primarily remove dirt and some pesticides, not bacteria, it's still worth doing. How about flour? Uncooked flour, cookie brown cake, cookie, brownie, cake, and pancake mixes, and pre-made cake batter. And the reasons are E. coli and salmonella. The findings, recalls and outbreaks were 22, number of illnesses were 44, but there were no deaths. Why it's risky? As wheat grows in fields that become contaminated with E. coli or salmonella, not only from nearby farms where livestock is raised, but also from wild animal droppings, notably deer and birds, Rogers says. The milling process that turns grains into flour does not kill either pathogen. Only cooking flour as part of a normal food preparation will make it safe. The safer way to eat it. Don't eat raw homemade dough or batter. Not even taste of that cookie dough, tempting as it may be. That protects you from any bacteria in the flour as well as from salmonella that could be in raw eggs. In addition, Rogers recommends keeping the flour and baking mixes that include flour away from all ready-to-eat foods like fresh produce, both when buying them in the supermarket and while storing them at home. Flour is light and powdery and can easily fly around your kitchen and become into contact with counters, cutting boards, plates, and the like. Wash these, as well as your hands, in hot, soapy water after use. And a few more things you should know. I might be afraid to eat. Lots of artificial additives are in our food and most pose little concern. But some have been linked to health problems, and CR's food safety experts have identified five that are particularly risky. All have been banned in the European Union, and manufacturers have been able to replace them with other safer ingredients. For example, Pez sold here contains red number 3 dye, but in EU, it has colorants from fruit and plant concentrates. Here's what you need to know, including how to find foods without these chemicals. Red dye number 3, also known as FD&C, red number 3, or erythrosine, gives a cherry red color to many foods, including baked goods, snacks, cereals, sodas, and candies. The risk. Studies have linked it to cancer and thyroid tumors in lamb animals, as well as hyperactivity and other behavioral effects in children. The FDA banned its use in cosmetics more than 30 years ago. Brominated vegetable oil, BVO, used in sport drinks and sodas to keep citrus flavorings from floating to the top. The Environmental Working Group identified 82 beverages with BVO, mostly vibrantly colored and citrus-flavored sodas, including Sundrop. The risk. Studies in rodents have linked BVO to thyroid, heart, and liver problems, as well as behavioral, developmental, and reproductive issues. Potassium bromate, a flour improver that can strengthen dough, make baked goods rise higher, and enhance texture. The EWG counts some 190 products with it. The risk. Studies have linked it to kidney and other cancers in rodents. Propylparaben extends the shelf life of packaged foods by preventing mold and bacterial growth. It's in more than 50 foods, including packaged corn tortillas and baked desserts, according to the EWG. The risk. It may mask as an endocrine disruptor or a chemical that mimics the body's natural hormones. Chronic exposure to such chemicals has been linked to reduced fertility and in animals, problems with the development of reproductive organs. Titanium dioxide, used to make coffee creamers, baking decorations, and sources extra white, and in candies as a primer to make other colors more vivid. The risk. Lab animal studies suggest that it may cause digestive tract problems and possibly genotoxicity, or the ability of a substance to damage genetic information in the body's cells. How to avoid these additives? Read the ingredients lists. These additives must be listed on a product's label. Search ingredients lists for thousands of products on the EWG's database. Go to ewg.org/foodscores. Watch out for certain kinds of foods. Pay special attention to ingredients in foods where these additives often appear. Breads, candies, cookies, and other baked treats, shredded cheeses, sodas, and sports drinks, and tortillas. Generic or store brand versions may be more likely to contain them. Stop at chains that avoid foods with these ingredients. Kroger and Whole Foods don't carry foods with these ingredients other than titanium dioxide. Aldi, Food Giant, Publix, ShopRite, and SuperValu have removed them from many of their store brand products. Buy brands that don't use these ingredients. The Coca-Cola Company and PepsiCo have stopped using BVO, with Coca-Cola removing it from the Fanta and Fresca, and Pepsi removing it from Gatorade and Mountain Dew. Dunkin', Panera, and Papa John's have pledged not to sell products with some of these additives. Campbell says it now uses titanium dioxide only in Chunky Healthy Request chicken corn chowder and Chunky Healthy Request New England clam chowder, and that we should consider to look at alternative solutions. This could make our food safer. No one involved in farming, food production of the government wants people to get sick, says Brian Ronholm, Director of Food Policy at CR, but we still see too many illnesses and there are improvements that could be made. He's what CR believes needs to happen, as well as who's doing what to improve food safety. Get dangerous foods recalled sooner. While the FDA often responds too slowly when it learns of a potentially contaminated food, the agency did recently introduce the Food Traceability Rule, which requires all players in a food's journey to consumers to develop plans that, among other things, assign a code to foods that they can be tracked more efficiently. The rule goes into effect in early 2026. Keep germs out of meat and produce. One key measure for poultry. The USDA should declare salmonella in poultry an adulterant, so the products that can contain it cannot be legally sold. In 2023, the USDA proposed that rule for salmonella in raw stuff frozen breaded chicken products. Now it should follow through on plans announced earlier this year to expand that to other poultry products run on sales. With produce, some retailers, including Costco, Wegmans, and Whole Foods, require suppliers of leafy greens to test for harmful bacteria. Suppliers to Whole Foods must test the greens in the field and the processing plant, and Wegmans requires the greens be tested no more than 4 days before harvest. Costco's testing requirements apply not just to greens, but to all bagged produce. Get heavy metals out of food. The FDA has set limits on heavy metals in only a few foods, such as inorganic arsenic in infant rice cereal and lead in candy. That's not sufficient. From mercury in tuna to cadmium in dark chocolate, the FDA needs to set and enforce more aggressive standards for what is acceptable and what is not. Ban known harmful food additives. CR supports a bill now in the California legislature that would ban certain particularly problematic food additives. Passing the law would likely spur many companies to reformulate their products nationally and could encourage the FDA to act too, Ronholm says. Arsenic, cadmium, and lead concerns. While you probably know that fish can be a source of mercury, you might not realize that other heavy metals such as arsenic, cadmium, and lead can also be in certain foods. That's because these metals are found in soil and water, and some plants are more likely to absorb them or to be contaminated with them during processing. Frequent exposure to even small amounts of heavy metals at an early age has been linked to lower IQ and behavior problems. In adults, it may increase the risk of heart, kidney, bone, and lung diseases. Having an overall healthy diet rich in calcium, iron, selenium, vitamin C, and zinc can offset some of the issues, but it also makes sense to take some precautions when eating these foods. Herbs and spices. Certain dried herbs and spices, including basil, oregano, and thyme, contain enough heavy metals, even in the small amounts used in cooking, to raise a concern when used regularly. That's what CR scientists found in 2021 when they tested 15 types of herbs and spices. The safer choice. In CR's test, all the oregano and thyme brands and all but one brand of basil had concerning levels of at least one heavy metal. On the other hand, black pepper, coriander, curry powder, garlic powder, saffron, sesame seeds, and white pepper had very low levels in all the brands tested. For chili powder, cumin, ginger, paprika, and turmeric, there was at least one brand that had very low levels. Dark chocolate. In 2022, Consumer Reports scientists measured heavy metals in 28 dark chocolate bars. They detected cadmium and lead in all of them. For 23 of the bars, eating just 1 ounce a day would put you an adult over the level that public health authorities have CR experts say may be harmful for at least one of those heavy metals. A safer choice. Occasionally eat even the chocolates with the highest level in CR's test is unlikely to cause harm. The risk comes with frequent consumption over time. Limit your intake to 1 ounce a few days a week. Choose a dark chocolate with low amounts of heavy metals in CR's test, or opt for milk chocolate. It has less cacao than dark, and it tends to have lower levels of heavy metals. But eat this in moderation, too. It also tends to have a lot more sugar. Rice. Rice is one of the only major crops grown in water-flooded condition, which allows arsenic to be more easily taken up by the plant's roots and stored in the grains. Arsenic collects in the outer layers of a grain, so brown rice has more than white rice. The safer choice. Reducing the amount of rice you eat is key. CR's test suggests that adults can have up to 4.5 servings of white basmati or sushi rice or 2 servings of other rice per week. A serving is 1/4 cup uncooked, assuming no other rice products are consumed. Before ingesting too much inorganic arsenic, the most dangerous type, cooking rice in a large amount of water and draining it like you would pasta also helps. According to the Food and Drug Administration, this can reduce the inorganic arsenic content by 40% to 60%. Now let's close out the day with a couple of automobile things, among other stuff. Road Report. First drive, the Ford Escape. The Escape compact SUV has been updated for 2023 with a freshened exterior, new advanced driver assistance systems, an optional infotainment system with a large 13.2-inch screen, and a sporty-looking ST-line trim. There's less vibration from the 3-cylinder turbo engine, and the brakes are less grabby than before. CR's take. The Escape is an agile, pleasant-to-drive SUV. The infotainment system is not as easy to use. We favor the hybrid for its smoother, more efficient powertrain and also for its better reliability record. The price range is $28,000 to $40,000. The destination charges is $1,500, and the price is driven by CR was $31,000. What SUV drivers need to know about sharing the road with cyclists? While all drivers need to be super cautious around cyclists, SUV drivers should be even more so, according to a study from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Excuse me, my tongue got tangled. In a collision, an SUV hits a rider's body higher up, making it more likely the cyclist will be thrown to the road and seriously injured. Caution means slowing down near cyclists, always using turn signals, and giving adequate space when sharing a lane. Most SUVs have automatic emergency braking with pedestrian detection. Some AEB systems can detect cyclists, too. The vital statistic, 8.4%. The number of American adults in 2022 who didn't use front seat belts. Oh, good, who doesn't do that? Being unbelted is risky. In 2021, about half the people killed in car crashes were not buckled in. The data is clear. Buckle up each and every time you travel by car. What happens when somebody I've loaned my car has a crash in it? In most cases, the car owner's insurance will cover a collision when another person is behind the wheel, assuming the policy has sufficient coverage limits. Car insurance follows the car, not the driver, says Loretta Waters, vice president at the Insurance Information Institute, who adds that it is still necessary to put regular drivers of your car, like family members, on your policy. Be aware that most insurers will increase the premium of the at-fault car owners after a crash, regardless of who was driving. And a recall. Jeep. More than 330,000 SUVs are being recalled if a rear coil spring may detach while the vehicle is in motion. Ooh. If this happens, drivers might lose control of the vehicle, or the detached part could strike others and cause injuries. The recall involves 2022 to 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee and 2021 to 2023 Grand Cherokee L. Vehicles with an optional air suspension are not included in recall. What to do? Jeep dealerships will inspect and, if necessary, reinstall the springs for free. Call 800-853-1403. And we are getting towards the time to get ready for winter. So do a couple of things, and then we'll go ahead the next week and finish it up. Winter weather is contributing factors in tens of thousands of crashes each year, according to the Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Making sure your car is ready to take on the season's freezing temperatures, sleet, and icy snowy roads may reduce your risk of a weather-related crash, no matter what Mother Nature dishes out. The key is to be prepared for bad weather before it arrives, says Jen Stockberger, Director of Operations at Consumer Reports Auto Test Center. You don't want to find out your car isn't up to the task or have some crucial safety component fail after the winter weather has already arrived. Following the advice below and keeping an emergency kit on board, including gloves, a hat, a blanket, a collapsible shovel, toe strap, and something to drink, will help make winter driving more comfortable. And the subjects will cover the right tires, how to test your battery, getting new wiper blades, and check the defrosters. And let's close out with a couple of light things. Although English is my friend's native language, you wouldn't know it by some actually said, such as, "Sorry, you can't speak with him today. He's incommunicado." Most peoples are indelible for the food stamp program. He's not well-liked. You could say he's got social astigmatism. Choose light special candles called Yarzeet as memorials for the recently departed. So when I visited a friend's house and saw he had 4 Yarzeet candles lit, I became concerned. "I'm so sorry for your loss," I said. "What are you talking about?" he asked. Pointing to the candles, I asked, "You know what those candles are for?" "Sure," he said. "4 for a dollar." Every fall, my brother's neighbor would rake up his leaves and pile them in the bed of his pickup truck. Unable to wrap his mind around why the guy would do this, my brother finally asked, "Why don't you bag your leaves instead?" "My way's better," said the neighbor. "I just drive around town until they are all gone." Actually, that's pretty smart. One more. When I was in pilot training in Laredo Air Force Base in 1972, there was a closet in the hallway of the officers' quarters. On the door was a sign, "Officer Storage." Underneath, someone had scribbled, "So that's where they keep all of them." Rough Day Remedy. This lovely little ritual was submitted to Well New York Times newsletter. Anyone in the family comes home after a rough day, they can wearily announce sardine can. That is a signal for everyone to immediately rush upstairs, including the person who issued the call. Then we all pile into the bed under the covers and stay there, packed cozily, until the person feels better. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and so thanks so much for listening.